Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and I am here, and we are up to Parshat Shlach, right? So obviously things are not necessarily heading in the direction that the Jewish people want, but there are many, many other intriguing things, not just sad and upsetting things, the Jewish people complaining, being stuck in the desert for 40 years and all these things like that. But there's actually a lot of intriguing things as well. And a lot of lessons. There's actually a lot of lessons that we can learn, not just obviously lessons of speaking Lashon Hara or about the land, not just about having bitachon, but there's so much more. So I wanted to talk about something which actually connects this week's parsha to a few other things. After the episode of the spies, Hashem appears furious with Klal Yisrael and threatens to wipe out the entire nation. And rebuttal, Moshe pleads on their behalf to spare them, citing different reasons and notes the merciful attributes of Hashem as part of this plea, right? Obviously, Hashem, Kelracha Bachana, etc. We have the 13 attributes and other statements. But after that, Hashem states, Shimu ki ata Hashem bekerav ha'am hazeh, asher ayin be'ayin, nira ata Hashem, ve'enecha omed aleihem. They have heard that you, Hashem, are in the midst of this nation, that you, Hashem, appear to them eye to eye, and your cloud of glory stands over them. Now, what's very interesting is specifically the phrase of ayin ba'ayin, eye to eye. And there's many different ways in which the commentary is explaining. Now, the most common explanation is that all of Bnei Yisrael, when witnessing the revelation at Har Sinai, saw Hashem in a clear manner that very, very few were privy to observe. They therefore, in a sense, saw Hashem in an incredibly open way, that is, eye to eye. Now, the Imre Shefer, written by Rav Naftali Ashkenazi, explains that this term ayin ba'ayin, which we translate as eye to eye, actually means, in this context, on equal ground. It connotes equal weights on a scale, like on a face, right? Our eyes, at least for most people, are equal to each other, right? You have a left and a right. They work in unity, but they're fairly equal to each other. So it's an eye for an eye, a left eye and a right eye. The two sides is equal in ayin be'ayin. But if you say ayin tachat ayin, right, obviously, and that's used in the case of where you have retribution, even though we're actually not gouging out somebody's eye for taking out someone's eye, we actually do it monetarily. But the term ayin tachat ayin, he explains, is where the two sides are not equivalent. In fact, we actually see that the two sides are not equivalent because if person A poked out person B's eye or made him blind, he gets something different. He gets the obligation to pay money. So in that case, ayin tachat ayin is something which is different. They're not equivalent. Now, sometimes you can actually pay back a good eye for a bad eye or a bad eye for a good eye. So an example of paying back a good eye for a bad eye is even though somebody did something bad to you, you can be merciful and gracious. You don't necessarily give them what they deserve. You're more kind and generous. You're merciful. If you pay back a bad eye for a good eye, that's when you're overly punitive and you're spiteful. Both of these terms are actually found in the Torah with respect to punishments, as we had said. So Parshat Mishpatim, one of the most famous psukim in the Torah, is ayin tachat ayin, shein tachat shein, yad tachat yad, regel tachat regel. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. And the sages, of course, learned through the oral law and numerous derivations that this is not literal and that you actually have to pay money, as I said. In Parshat Shoftim, even though it's kind of conveying the same concept, right? The Gemara gets into some nuances. But it says, nefesh ben nefesh, ayin be'ayin, shein b'shein, yad b'yad, regel b'regel. A soul for a soul, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, foot for a foot. But in this instance, even though in English we translate it the same way, an eye for an eye, it says ayin be'ayin, which is an eye in an eye, as opposed to ayin tachat ayin, which literally means an eye in place of an eye or an eye or an eye below an eye. So the prefix of be, which means in or with, is used here, like it is in our parsha, right? We have ayin be'ayin, just like in our parsha. So this particular case of ayin be'ayin in Parshat Shoftim occurs in the context of Edom Zomim, false witnesses, and specifically those who sought to harm another individual through their testimony. They do, in fact, get what they tried to accomplish. They actually get the same thing. If they tried to kill so-and-so, then they get killed in return. If they tried to get him to pay $100, they have to pay $100. There actually is a true equivalency. And then in that case, that is actually why ayin be'ayin is used. Yes. Now, obviously, there are some exceptions to that. We don't maim them, meaning that if they tried to get somebody to lose their eye, we don't cause them to lose their eye, but we give whatever the value of equivalent is. So it's not always 100%, but in many cases, it is actually tit for tat, right? And therefore, it's ayin be'ayin. And therefore, it's more of an even measure. In contrast, by general damages, it's always monetary. And in fact, in most cases, if not all, but most cases certainly, the Torah is merciful and a person doesn't have to suffer the more severe punishment, which would be, losing an eye or a foot or a tooth or whatever it might be. The only exception is actually murder, where a life is actually taken for a life. Interestingly enough, the term nefesh ben nefesh is in conjunction with ayin be ayin here, or rather nefesh ben nefesh, as opposed to nefesh tacha nefesh, which appears earlier. But here it's actually in conjunction because, again, it's literally a life for a life. Now, in the other case, it is a life for a life as well, but it's a little bit further removed, and that's open for a much larger conversation, which I'm not going to get into right now. But in most cases, essentially, the Torah pays back. Again, there's a couple exceptions, like Adam Zalman, but in general, the Torah pays back a good eye for a bad eye. The Torah is merciful, just as Hashem is merciful. In the same sense, Moshe was pleading with Hashem to be fair. The 10 spies and the rest of Bnei Israel complained and rejected the land of Israel. But in response, Hashem wished to wipe out the entire nation and start again with Moshe. This is disproportionate. That is ayin tachat ayin. It's actually harsh. It's replacing a good eye with a bad eye. It's worse than what you, right? The 10 spies didn't want to kill everybody. They didn't want to wipe out the nation, or they want to wipe out a different nation, right? They just wanted to not go into the land of Israel, and they spoke bad. Obviously, that's a very bad sin. But Hashem wished to destroy them. That's not reciprocal. So Moshe reasoned, since it wasn't measure for measure, it wasn't repaying an eye for an eye, but rather repaying a good eye with a harsh or bad eye. And therefore, he asked Hashem to be ayin b'ayin. And Hashem agreed to Moshe. And therefore, since they spurned the land of Israel, they wouldn't get to go into the land of Israel. They went in and they didn't appreciate it. They're not going to go in. It is mita k'neged mita. It is, right? They denied them the right to the land 40 years for 40 days. It was appropriate. They didn't want to go to the land. They weren't going to be able to go into the land. Only the next generation would. So here we see both the attribute of both mercy and fairness. There was a certain fairness to it, right? 40, it was 40 and 40. And like they wanted to stay in the desert, not go into Israel. They stayed in the desert. But they also were merciful that they weren't, that Hashem didn't kill them, and that it wasn't worse that, like, obviously if Hashem killed them, they're not going to go into the land of Israel. So we don't actually know what would have happened. We don't know if Hashem would have actually killed them. We don't know, obviously, all of the workings of Shemayim, but he gave Moshe the opportunity to make this argument and defend the Jewish people, or advocate rather on behalf of the Jewish people. Maybe Hashem planned all along, to just banish them from the land. But we don't know. We don't know what Hashem would have done. We have no idea if Moshe had made a different argument, for example. But he wanted, presumably he wanted and knew that Moshe would pray on their behalf. He knew that even though Moshe was constantly angry and frustrated with Bnei Yisrael, and constantly even just upset, like, Hashem, why did you put me here? He said that, including Parshat Tetzaveh, but he still loved them. It was still his nation. Just as a parent may have difficult with a child, and a child may be rebel and incredibly frustrating and difficult, and even do horrible things. Even may turn away from their parents. Parents still nevertheless love their children. They may be incredibly frustrated with them. They may not be able to easily spend a lot of time with them sometimes, but they still love them. Therefore, it's fitting, therefore, that this phrase of ayin be'ayin, which means eye for an eye, or no, sorry, not eye for an eye, eye to eye, literally, or eye in an eye, is actually used in Sefer Yeshaya, Sefer Isaiah, describing a closeness that Hashem will have to Bnei Yisrael when Mashiach comes. We will return to Hashem, and we will return to us, because our Father is our Father in heaven, and He ultimately loves us unconditionally. He will always take us back, no matter what we do, no matter how we rebel, no matter what horrible things we may do. Hashem will always take us back, and He will look us straight in the eye, and He'll tell us that He loves us. I want to thank, again, a partner that I have sometimes, Isaac Kotlicki, for his assistance with this dvar, and I'm wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom.